see if we can get done. I thank Mr. Massey for leaving me a scripture or two. With great enthusiasm, and I thank you for that. We will be talking about similar things, and hopefully it will fill in the gaps as we go. And that's what we're all about here, aren't we? To fill in the gaps. And as we progress through this sermon, I think you'll see that I'll be filling in some gaps, and we will get the job done. You know, one way to better understand the Feast of Trumpets is to ask the question, how are trumpets used in the Bible? Duh, right? And we had Old Testament, New Testament. Well, we're going to look at the Bible and say, well, how are they used? And you'll see some parallels here, I'm sure. So today on this Feast of Trumpets, we'll answer the question, why trumpets? You know, why isn't the Feast of Violins? I mean, I play the violin. It's a wonderful instrument. Play the violin. Whoops, where'd she go? She plays the violin. It's a wonderful instrument. But it's a Feast of Trumpets, isn't it? So let's look at that and see. There are two types of trumpets in the Bible. Two types of trumpets in the Bible. Let's turn over to Joshua 6 and verse 4. Joshua 6 and verse 4. Now seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And we heard about this, didn't we? This is Joshua, this is Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down with the blowing of the trumpets. The trumpets there are the shofar, which is the ram's horn. I happen to have an example of that today, which I will not blow, because to blow a trumpet, you must know how to do it. And I'm not a wind instrument player. This is a ram's horn. This is a ram's horn. Actually, it's not a ram's horn, but it's a shofar, okay? I don't think it was made out of a ram's horn. I'm not sure what it was made out of, but you can make them out of several things. There are lots of traditions surrounding the making of a shofar. Shofar can be made of almost any clean animal, except for two. Anybody know which two? The deer? Why the deer? Because the antler, you can't get the inside out of it. It doesn't separate, right? You ever seen a deer with a hollow antler? No, they're all solid. You can't get the inside out. And the cow's horn. Now the cow, you can separate that. I have a cow's horn at home, and you can actually make some noise with it. Why not the cow's horn? Because the Jews won't use a cow's horn because Israel made golden calves. And they won't use a cow's horn, even though it's a clean animal. So most of them today are made out of oryx, kudu, or the ram. The ram's horns are usually smaller and little curved horns. Sometimes they're even called a coronet instead of a shofar or a ram's horn because it is a curved horn, different from a trumpet. So most of the raw material for these today come from Morocco, but they are made in Israel. This happens to be an official one that can be used. It was given to me by a lady whose husband was a practicing Jew, and he died in 2013. She attends with us in the Bay Area, and she gave this to me, and I treasure it. Someday I will learn to play it, but it's quite good. If you know what you're doing with these, you can actually get... I don't think you can get the full scale, but you can get probably six or seven tones out of it. So that's a shofar, the ram's horn. Another kind of trumpet we find over in Numbers 10 and verse 12. Numbers 10 and verse 12. Let's turn over there for a moment. We'll move right along here. Numbers 10 and verse 12. Or excuse me, 10 and verse 2. It's always fun when you get to a certain spot and you look and say, that's not the scripture I wanted. 10 and verse 2. Make two silver trumpets for yourself, it says. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling of the congregation and for directing the movements of the camp. Now, you heard about calling of the congregation, but these are silver trumpets. They're usually blown by the priest. It's a different Hebrew word. It's not shofar. It's called chatsoter. C-H-A-T-S-O-S-E-R. T-S-E-R-A. And it's derived from the quivering sound that comes out, that sound that will transcend noise and will cut right through. That's why we're using trumpets. Silver trumpets are fabricated. They're hammered work. They're made out of silver, much like our brass instruments today. I think if you see some of these old medieval movies where they have a long trumpet with a flag hanging from it, that's probably what they look like, although the Bible doesn't specifically say how big they are. They are generally used by the priests. So point number two, what do we use them for? Numbers 10. We're back in Numbers again. Numbers 10 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets. We read that, didn't we? What did he say it for? The calling of the congregation and the directing of the movements of the camp. Directing the movements of the camp. Verse 3. When they blow both of them, all congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, just the leaders, the heads of the division of Israel, shall gather to you. Now from this, I surmise that they could make different tones. So if they just blew one, you would hear one tone. If they blew two, there'd be a harmony, maybe a third or something like that, to where you could hear there were two trumpets blowing instead of one. So before the internet, email, cell phones, and PA systems, there needed to be a way to communicate across distances. Much like the cavalry used the trumpet to sound charge or recall or reveille or taps, a trumpet was used to communicate direction to the camp. Numbers 10 and verse 5. And when you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall begin their journey. And when you sound the advance a second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey, and they shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. So he's talking about now directing the movements of the camp. Remember, when they came out of Egypt, what did they have? They had millions of people. How do you communicate amongst millions? You know, one tell one, one tell the other, one tell the other. The message would get garbled by the time you got to the end. But the trumpet made a very clear, distinct, loud sound, as you heard from the cell phone. It pierces the air, and it directed the camp, the movement of the camp. And verse 8, the sons of Aaron the priest shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you an ordinance forever throughout your generations. Point number 3, trumpets are for celebrations. Celebrations. Numbers 10, 10. Numbers 10, 10. Also in the day of your gladness, at your appointed feasts, at the beginning of your months, the new moon, you shall blow trumpets over your burnt offerings and over your sacrifices and your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. Now these trumpets here that they're talking about in this verse are the silver trumpets blown by the priests. They're sounded to mark feasts and over sacrifices and offerings. Leviticus 25. Another example, Leviticus 25 and verse 9. Leviticus 25 and verse 9. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, and you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. It's a celebration. And you shall consecrate the 50th year to proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. And it shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession. Each of you shall return to his family. I'm really going to be excited to see what this stuff looks like when the kingdom of God rules on the earth. Think about this. Every 7 years, all debts wiped out. Clean slate, do-over, all wiped out. Every 50th year, all the land goes back to the original families. No matter how less than smart your ancestors might have been, you will get the land back at some point in your life if you make it to 50. And you start over again. You start over again. Everyone gets a chance. It would be a time of great celebration. And I could just picture people all over just blowing the trumpets. A word here for the trumpets or the shofar. The shofar. People blowing the trumpets. Now when Judah was released from the Babylonian captivity after 70 years, they returned to Jerusalem. and they began to rebuild the temple. You know the story. You know, they messed up really bad, and God let them go into captivity. And after 70 years, he brought them back. Now, some people that went into captivity were very young at the time. They were like the little children out here. They went with their parents off to Babylon. But they probably remembered being in Jerusalem for the feast. And some of them remember seeing that temple. It was a very emotional and wonderful event when all this occurred. Let's look over to Ezra 3 and verse 10. Comes right after 2 Chronicles, Ezra 3 and verse 10, if you haven't found it. And before Nehemiah, Ezra 3 and verse 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets. Oh boy, celebration time. And the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of King David of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever towards Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout, that a lot of times goes with the trumpets, when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites, the heads of the fathers' houses, the old men who had seen the first temple, wept with loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout for joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. So when the people returned from Babylon and laid the foundation for the temple, it was a time of celebration. It was not an easy time. All the people in the land didn't want them to do it. They harassed them every time they could. They tried to get it to stop, but they kept moving forward. Doesn't it remind you of where we are today? It seems like everything's happening all over the place, but the goal is to keep moving forward, to keep hearing the sound, that very clear sound of the trumpet, and moving forward. It was a time for celebration when the foundation was laid. It wasn't an official holy day, but it was a time for celebration, a time to celebrate, and trumpets were blown by the priests. Point number four, trumpets sound a warning. Trumpets sound a warning. We heard a little bit about this. Let's hear a little more. Joel 2 and verse 1. Joel 2 and verse 1. Hosea, Joel, Amos, one of those major minor prophets. One of those major minor prophets. Joel 2 and verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. Mr. Massey mentioned the day of the Lord is a theme throughout the Old Testament. This is one place. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. The people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. Time of trouble. Time of trouble. Let's hope we're not anywhere in the middle of this. We need to be out of the way. It's a time of trouble. Amos, Hosea, Joel, Amos 3 and verse 6. Trumpets are blown as a warning. Amos 3 and verse 6. Amos 3 and verse 6. If a trumpet is blown in the city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Thank God for that. Everyone's wondering, you know, are we in the midst of anything going on here with this COVID thing? Yeah, it's just a step. But we're not there yet. It's coming. But thank God, we will know. We will know. He will not leave us out there wondering. When it's time, we will know what's going on. Isaiah 58 and verse 1. Isaiah 58 and verse 1. Should be a memory scripture for all of us. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like the trumpet. Let my people tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. We, as a church, have that as a commission to help do that. We have to announce that. Now, how strong we get and when we get strong or stronger, we'll see. It'll depend. We'll be inspired to do what we need to do, and we need to do it. But God says, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. You know, we want to make sure the people know. Get your act together, folks. It's coming. Because there's a lot of people out there that have not a clue. You know, California's been on fire, the whole cotton-picking state. I'm so glad we're here. Having been over there, we know that area that's burning. You think anyone over there is crying aloud and sparing a knot saying, oh God, let's get sackcloth and ashes. We got plenty of ashes. Let's throw some on our head and let's repent. I don't think so. It's not bad enough yet. I don't think so. We can see it. We can see it. Well, as one man I know said, well, nothing that a good coat of fire can't cure. We'll see. We'll see if people are willing. Point number 5, trumpets are used in battle. In the Bible, trumpets are used in battle. Now, you've already heard one example, but I'll give you another one here in a minute. Numbers 10 and verse 8. Numbers 10 and verse 8. There we go. Numbers 10 and verse 8. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as ordinances forever throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. We heard about that, haven't we? There's another interesting example I can show you. Not Joshua, but Gideon. Gideon, Judges 7, and verse 10. Trumpets were used in Judges 7, verse 10, or excuse me, 7, verse 16. You know the story of Gideon. Gideon was a judge. They were being oppressed by Midian at this time. And as usual, in the book of Judges, Israel would mess up. God would let them be taken over by an enemy, whether the Philistines or the Midianites or Amorites or whatever, and then he'd raise up a judge to save them. Judges 7, verse 16. And you know that he had an army, and God said, you got too many? What? You got too many men to go to war? What? That doesn't make sense. Well, if you want to know that God saved you rather than your own strength, it's good not to have too many. So they kept cutting it down and cutting it down, cutting it down, till there were 300. There were 300. We'll pick up the story at that point. Judges 7, verse 16. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch. And when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Interesting. Have you ever been in the woods at night when there was a new moon? You know what the new moon is. Just a little tiny sliver. It's not giving much light, is it? That's how they know the beginning of months, the new moon. Just a little fingernail, not even quite. It's dark. You want to be scared. The woods are dark at night. So here you are. You're the enemy. You're camped. And Gideon and his men are all surrounding you, and they've got their torches in cans so you can't get them, in pitchers. And they've all got a trumpet, 300 trumpets. And here you are in the middle of the night. It's dark. And all of a sudden, the woods come alive. Crash, bang. Lights all over the place. And people blowing trumpets. It'd be like having bagpipes come at you, you know, when you're out there in England. You know, that stringent sound. But the trumpets were all being carried. This was the battle plan. And when I blow the trumpet, he says, I and all who are with me, you will do blow the trumpets also on every side of the whole camp. So Gideon and his 300 men were with him, came upon the outpost of the camp at the beginning, in the middle watch, as they had posted a watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, and they held the torches in their hands and the trumpets in their right hands and blowing, for they cried, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. And when the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. There was confusion in the camp. And so God had a way of having them take themselves out. Good thing to remember. You know, during these times, we see a lot of things going on, things that we question, injustice, news media not giving us the truth, maybe, or giving us partial truths. And we think, how's this ever going to come to be? How it's going to come to pass? How there's going to be justice here? These people are powerful. They have ways of surviving themselves and making us do what they want us to do. God will find a way. He'll take care of it. Just like with Gideon, 300 men against thousands, God had a plan, and God made it work. Trumpets, number six, were used to worship God. Trumpets, number six, point number six, were used to worship God. One excellent example of this was that of Solomon. When he was young, not when he was old, when he was young, 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 11. You remember 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 11. David wanted to build a temple to God. And what did God say? You're a very bloody man, David. You've done some things. I'm going to let your son do it, but you can gather material. And when Solomon was given command of Israel as the king, he had been tasked by his father to build the temple, and he was going to do it. 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 11. 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 11. And when it came to pass that the priests came out of the most holy place, for the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. You know, David had created divisions. Priests served a certain period of time. He had a certain number of divisions. These priests were all serving. And the Levites who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Hermon and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding trumpets. And we read over that and say, oh, had a band, you know? They're going to play some trumpets. It was going to be neat. Think about that. 120 trumpets. Who's played in an orchestra here? How many trumpets in an orchestra? Usually 4-5 trumpets in an orchestra. Maybe a dozen brass instruments in the brass section. 120 trumpets. Wow. This was going to be a sound. And indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 5. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. These people were not vegetarians. People were going to have a feast. They were going to have a feast. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God, and the priests attended to their service, and the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which King David had made to praise the Lord, saying, for his mercy endures forever, whenever David offered praise by their ministry. But the priests sounded trumpets opposite them while all Israel stood. Furthermore, Solomon consecrated the middle court that was in front of the house of the Lord, for he had offered burnt offerings and the fat of peace offerings because of the bronze altar which Solomon had made, and was not able to receive the burnt offerings and grain offerings and the fat. The altar was just too small. At that time, Solomon kept the feast days 7 days. Oh, I wonder what feast that would be. Feast days, 7 days. And all Israel with them, a very great assembly from the entrance to Hamath to the brook of Egypt. And on the 8th day, I wonder what day that is, they held a sacred assembly and they observed the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the month, the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tents, joyful and glad of heart for the good that the Lord had done for David, for Solomon, and for his people Israel. And Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make the house of the Lord and his own house. I wish I could say that was the end of Solomon. That was the beginning of Solomon. He did not end well. But at this point, it was a high point. He had done what God wanted him to do, and he did it with style. And he did it well. And finally, the 7th point. Trumpets will announce the coming of God's government to the earth. Before the last trumpet sounds, brethren, the earth and all its people are going to be in a pretty sorry state. Sorry to say, that's the way it's going to be. Don't relish that time. Having lived here all my life, I would like it to be much nicer than that. But we know from prophecy, it's going downhill, unfortunately. Isaiah 24 and verse 1. Isaiah 24 and verse 1. Let's just pick up the story here before we end on a higher note. Isaiah 24 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste, distorts its surface and scatters abroad its inhabitants. And it shall be as with people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the creditor, so with the debtor. Nobody is going to escape what's going to happen. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly plundered, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. And that's the problem. There's a lot of people here that think they've got it dialed in. They're on top of the heap. They're in the governments. They're in the big businesses. Wherever they may think they have it together, it won't be enough when this happens. It will not be immune them from what's going on. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. In one sense, we are doing it to ourselves. In one sense, we are doing it to ourselves on many levels. On many levels, which is probably a subject for another sermon. Therefore, the earth Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few are left. You know, this thing with COVID has been an eye-opening thing, but you know what? We've all sheltered in place in air-conditioned homes. We've been able to get food. Toilet paper, a little iffy, but food we could get, you know? We've all eaten pretty well during this time. We weren't living in caves trying to find our next meal by foraging in the forest. But it's not going to be that way at the end, and few men are left. Mankind, left to his own devices, continues to make bad decisions, and he will bring the world as we know it to destruction. You know, and it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way, but that's the way man is right now. And that's what he has to learn before all this comes to where we can have a better way. We're on the wrong road to the wrong destination, and we're making excellent progress, unfortunately. But God loves his creation. You know, he even loves those people out there that are destroying the earth, because he sees the potential in them. Whether they see it in them or not, he sees the potential, and he has a plan. He has a plan. And that's what the Day of Trumpets is all about, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. You heard one of these scriptures. We're going to show you the rest of them around the edges here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15 is a resurrection chapter, like 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. The trumpet will call the people of God, as Mr. Massey said. And we are going to be the people of God. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now the word for trumpet in the New Testament is salpinx, S-A-L-P-I-N-X, salpinx. And it has the same meaning as the silver trumpet, the quivering sound. Now when it comes down to where Christ returns, it probably won't be a silver trumpet, it'll be a supernatural trumpet. Not to mention all the rest of us blowing whatever kind of trumpets we can find. Come on down. It's time. Blow the trumpet. Revelation 11, verse 15. Revelation 11, verse 15. And then the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice. There are loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and we and he shall reign forever and ever. He shall reign forever and ever, announcing the king, but also announcing the kingdom. The king, the kingdom, territory, rulership, laws, righteousness, all the things we don't have now will be here. And not only Christ, but us with him. Us with him. We, little people here, all of us that are just sitting out here scattered abroad, we think we have a big crowd here today. It's wonderful. Thank you. But it'll be nothing like what it's going to be in the kingdom when Jesus Christ is in charge, when we'll be able to trust government and leadership, when we'll be able to have a mission, a plan. Revelation 20 and verse 6. Revelation 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. That should be the goal. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Conclusion. Brethren, we find trumpets woven throughout the entire fabric of the Bible in interesting and exciting ways. And it's interesting that Mr. Massey and I were kind of on the same page talking about this. It's probably what we all needed to hear. But the most important way is for what we are celebrating today, and that's that last trumpet when it sounds, and the events that define the Feast of Trumpets will occur. Let us all be faithful and endure to the end so we qualify to rule with Christ in that awesome day.